Hi, I'm Chuck Quinlan, and welcome to the Grounded Podcast. And today's episode is about what to do when you just feel depressed about the general state of the world. You know, is there hope for a good life on earth? And looking forward to that. So I hope you'll stick around because we've got a message of hope from God's Word as we dig down deeper into day three of the creation narrative in Genesis chapter one. You know, this week I was on a college campus in Washington State, and I was talking to a young leader there, and I asked him about the general depressive outlook that so many young people have about life on Earth. I mean, even something as alarming as an article I read this week from The Economist that said voluntary sterilizations among 18 to 35-year-old females are really going up. And it's like, wow, usually that's the age that's, you know, dreaming about their life and their future and maybe their baby, if that's their dream for life. And now that dream's vanishing for a lot of them because they are just so discouraged. And so I asked this young person, I said, what do you think about all that? And he said, honestly, whenever I get depressed about the future of the world and about life on, you know, is there a good life out there for me on the earth? He said, I just take a step back and I just look at everything that has to happen for there even to be life on earth. And then I realize it's really not on me. Is there hope for our future? The Bible says, yes. Earth was designed to flourish. And whereas in the previous two episodes, we've talked about the threats from the universe. You know, a lot of people have this glowy vision of what they think the universe is and how the universe is going to help everybody achieve their dreams and make things happen. But the Bible says, no, the powers of the universe destroy all life. That's why there's no life anywhere. I mean, we've spent an entire generation and hundreds of millions of dollars listening to space, putting satellites with, you know, listening devices all the way, taking in any form of signal. And to our very best knowledge, there is nothing out there. We have not found any life, not one bacterium anywhere. There's us. And we're on this planet, this amazing blue water ball. And day three of the creation story is the birth of Earthland. It's a beautiful story. It's a hope-filled story. And, you know, we have a very invested creator. He loves his creation. In the previous episode, we talked about the firmament, how that even before he does any work, he sees those death forces in the universe, and he builds a protective barrier against them, a sky shield. He limits the power of darkness. He cuts the power of the waters in half. He's pushing back the strength of entropy to just shred things and take them down to nothing because he loves life. He wants humans. He wants all life on earth to thrive and flourish. Let's just take a step back and talk about what even has to happen for there to be life on planet Earth. First, there has to be a solar system, and we have to have a very specific place in that solar system. For example, we have to have a Jupiter. You can't just have an Earth. You need a Jupiter. It needs to be huge, and it needs to be right where it is, because when things come hurtling through space from the death forces to destroy us, we need a Jupiter that pulls those things off course and pulls that damage toward itself because, you know, there's not life there. And it just gets pounded with all the stuff that it attracts away from us. So we got to be, they call it the Goldilocks zone. We've got to be just, you know, not too hot, not too cold, just right. So you can't be too close to the sun. You can't be too far from the sun. We need a stable source of energy, and our place in a solar system has to be perfectly set. Not only that, as wonderful as the sun is, and there is, you know, there's so much we could dive down on about the role of the sun in our life, and it's actually mentioned in day four So that's another way that we know we're talking about symbolic language here, because whatever a day is, it's not the day as we have defined a day, a solar system, sun, spinning, earth, rotating day, because so far there's not even a sun, there's not a moon, there's not stars. And yet there are days in the mind of God. So, you know, you can call this whatever you want, but we're being shown how life is, what the reality is of our life. And what we're being shown on day three is that our Creator has taken meticulous care to create a world that is full of life, a place where humans can flourish, a place where a Garden of Eden can be built as a model home and can be spread by human labor all over the planet, a utopian society of free will beings, of animals and plants, a beautiful, beautiful world. And that's the world that He wants for all of us. Well, I said we needed just the right space in the solar system. We got to be where we're at. We also, as great as the sun will destroy us in a day, if not for a magnetic field. A lot of planets don't seem to have a magnetic field, but Earth is filled with metals, and Earth has a charge to it, and its magnetic field around the planet repels danger that comes to us, especially the most dangerous forms of radiation from our own sun, that instead of being destroyed by it, that magnetic field pushes it away. Not only that, when you have a living planet, you have to have chemical diversity. A lot of planets, if we have any information on them, they're overwhelmed by one or two kinds of chemicals, and this just destroys any possibility of life. But ours is a planet with abundance of chemicals, and in the diversity of these chemicals, they are constantly configuring and reconfiguring. And there is an ongoing movement of change among the chemistry of our world. It's essential, but it's got to be dialed in. All this stuff has to exist. Not only that, you have to have time. Because if you don't have time, you don't have cause and effect. Nothing can lead to the next thing. You got to have time. You got to have an atmosphere that'll hold in the water and also hold in the gases, the healthy life producing gases. You know, and we could keep going. I honestly spent a whole week just looking into all that goes into creating a world that has life. There's only one. But as we look at all the different factors, it's like all these spinning plates, and there's just hundreds of them. You can go on and on and on, but I just gave you five. Dr. Fred Hoyle was famous for his skepticism that this world and all of its systems could ever have come together just as random chance. He likened it to, he said, it's like believing that a tornado just went right into a junkyard, blasting everything and assembling a perfect 747 that you can fly in. And that's a simple thing compared to the complex systems of Earth. We have the fingerprints of a Creator all around us. You see the design. You see the golden ratio. Just look that one up, the divine ratio that is in everything. So, the whole point of this is to take a step back from all the depressing things that are on the news and say, is there a future for me? Is there a future for Earth? Well, Earth wouldn't even be here if not for a very committed God, because our Creator not only made us, but He has to sustain us second by second. All these systems have to be kept in place, kept running. And if any of them, this is wild, they all interact with each other. All the life forms on Earth, they're all integrated. So if you have one thing go wrong in just one segment of our biosphere, it affects the others too. And to hold this thing together, you know, only God can do that. He has hope for this world. He has love for this world. And we can count on Him to be here for us. So let's look at Genesis chapter 1, verses 9 through 25. I'm not going to read all of that. It's the beautiful third day. Earthland rises. And really what I want to focus on, because Earthland rising takes two things. One is the waters have to be forced out of the, instead of it being a water ball, the waters have to be pulled down and forced into containers, seas, oceans, rivers, lakes. The waters have to be pulled from the atmosphere, forced to the earth, and kept in boundaries so that they don't flood over. I mean, we've seen what just a tsunami can do, much less a whole planet of swirling water. And so being that our planet is majority water, this is really important. The second thing that happens is Earthland rises up from that soupy chaos of the deep. Earthland rises. And when it rises beautifully equipped. You know, it is beautifully equipped to allow life to flourish. Now, I love this Genesis chapter 1 version of the creation story because it's what one scholar called the creation overture. And it's just this beauty, you know, you can just start this beautiful music and imagine the ultimate creator. And he has limitless ability. And now he has a project that is so big. It is so complex. It is so perfect that to create a living planet, it's going to challenge his abilities. And he's just lost in this, in the crafting. One rabbi said that God is presented, Yahweh is presented to the world as the artisan deity. He is not the God of war. He's not the God of, you know, of destruction. He's the God who makes things. And so we see him now. He's lost in his creative moment. And maybe we can just take a second to think about that. You know, if you want the good life, you need to unlock your creativity because God has placed creativity in every human. And so now we have these abilities that we need to put to use. And if you just would take a more creative stance toward everything that you're doing, you'll find that creativity is a form of worship and that you meet the Lord in your creative spaces. You know, what I see happening to the whole planet is there's just this pacification of humanity and the amount of time that people spend watching, just watching Netflix, watching TV. It's like it's the center of their day. They get their, whatever their work is, get that done, and then boom, the TV goes on and they go into the most passive of modes and they watch other people's stories instead of being a story and doing something with your own life. And so, you know, God gives us these creative abilities, and the Lord is a creator. And so he begins. And in this beautiful creative overture, there's no villain. There's no drama. There's just the maker lost in his making. Artisan creator just lost in the process of this great work. And what we see rising is a living planet, Earthland. Rises and she is alive. Our planet is a living planet. And if, you know, if you've ever sat by a pregnant woman and especially in the last quarter of her pregnancy and, you know, her belly's so big and she's just groaning under it. And yet there's this living child inside of her and you will see like heels and arms and this baby starts kicking and stretching. And sometimes it's, you know, it's comical to watch. Pull back and watch their stomach and you just see the movements going around. Well, our planet does that. Our planet has what's called a dynamic geography. So it isn't like a billiard ball. It's this moving, pulsing thing where our plates shift and gases and chemicals and minerals circulate. And they cycle throughout the ball and mountain ranges are formed and others are lowered and valleys are raised up, even under the earth, under the ocean. But you know, we have a living planet. We have a dynamic planet, and our subsurface has minerals and metals of all kinds, and but the crust of the earth is special. That's soil. And in the soil, as earthland rises up at the command of God, I'll read it. Verse 9, then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. That's the first time that word is used, where God judges his creation and says, this is good. This is constructive. This is pro-life. This builds life. And then it goes on, it talks about all the seed, verse 11, the seed that is in the earth, that this is a seed that will bring forth grass and herb and fruit trees. These are the three kinds of vegetations that humans rely on. Seed. Let's just think about seeds. That when God lifts up the earth is already pregnant with every kind of seed that we will ever need. And so I did a little deep dive on seed because honestly, I never thought about it very much. And I'm sort of ashamed of myself. Because it's so important. A seed, I discovered, is a plant embryo. A seed is a plant embryo. And seeds, because they have a shell, they allow plants to spread far from the original plant. It's not like having to send a vine or something or a root that has to move out and you're localized. With seed, through many different dispersal systems. The wind can blow it. Animals can eat the seed and then, drop it back out later. There are many different ways. Some seeds hitchhike to the body bypassing animals. They can fall in the water. They can be carried away. They can become part of snowfall and then part of the runoff in the spring. But you've got all these ways that nature's developed under God's guidance to spread seeds even far away from the parent plant. And then there's the survival of a seed. Seeds can remain dormant for years, extended periods of time. And it allows the embryo inside to survive, even through unfavorable conditions, until the circumstances are just right for germination. And then there's the nutrition of seeds, because seeds are vital. They're vital to human society, not only human society, all life on earth. Because within a seed, even, there's the seed that you sow, and then there's the seed that you eat. Because so much of our diet takes advantage of this embryo having a store of calories within it, so that it has enough food, fats, proteins, and carbohydrates to be sustained during the germination until it becomes a plant and can make its own food from photosynthesis. So in that interim stage where the seed has to sprout and then grow into a plant, it's living off of the value that is inside the seed. And it gets even more amazing. In this embryo, in this seed, there is DNA. And in the DNA, there are instructions, complex instructions written in DNA code that tells the seed how to break open, when to create the proteins that will be needed at what stage in its development so that it can survive the environment and thrive and produce even more seed. It's just astonishing. They are the primary source of food for much of the animal kingdom. And on top of that, we use seeds to make things like cotton and linen. They play a very crucial role in the entire ecosystem. So when the planet rises up, she is already seeded. Glory to God. I mean, let's think about this. If we're looking for encouragement, well, let's start with something discouraging. What are the odds of getting hit by lightning? I looked that up too. 15,000 to one. I thought it would be more rare, frankly. 15,000 to one of a person getting hit by lightning. Okay, what are the odds that the same person would get hit by lightning twice in their lifetime? Oh, that's 1 in 9 million. Well, what are the odds that you're going to win Powerball? That's 1 in 290 million. So, I mean, you stand a greater chance by far of getting hit by lightning than ever winning Powerball. It's amazing when that happens. So now here's my last odds. What are the odds that if you paid attention to what you were doing, you could plant seed in the ground and it would produce a harvest of fruit and a harvest of future seed for you to use to multiply your seed? Oh, that's about 100%. So, you know, there are many things in life that are, you know, they're not likely to happen to you, but that earth will reward you if you will take care of her and work the earth. Oh, that's pretty much a sure thing, because our Creator has built a world that will respond to the touch of human hands. I have a friend who loves flowers, and he began to plant tulips around his house, and he's up to about 5,000 tulips now. And neighbors will make a parade through the neighborhood on the way home from work and stop in his front yard to just stare at the beauty of it. And you know, and every one of those flowers gives him a chance to make even more. It's just like that throughout nature. If you'll take care of the resources of the planet, of the animals on the planet, of the seed on the planet will take care of us. We have a loving Father, and He has built a place that is unlike anywhere else in the universe. I mean, if you just take one tomato plant, which grew from one seed, and take care of it, and make sure the deer don't eat it, that one tomato plant is going to give you, something between 30 and 50 tomatoes ought to grow on it. You're going to get between 3,000 and 9,000 seeds from those tomatoes. And that's just from one tomato plant. I mean, it's springtime. It would be a valuable experiment. The point is, this planet is unlike anywhere else in the universe. This planet is built for success. It is built for life. It is built to sustain life. It is built to cleanse itself, all because it was created that way, and it's being sustained every day. The Father is not leaving this planet to chance. And as much as we are the co-regent of this planet, and as much as we are the ones that He has entrusted to take care of planet Earth, this is His planet. This planet belongs to Him. And if you read the Bible carefully, His dream for us is not of humans floating around on the clouds up in heaven. We will, if we die before this planet is redeemed, we will continue to be conscious. We will be in the presence of God. We will be in love with our Lord, and we will be in fellowship with Him. But His dream for us is that our bodies will be restored, and we will find ourselves living again on planet Earth. Just read the end of the story. It's exactly what it said. There's a renewal of heaven, a renewal of Earth, because this is our Father's dream. We've been given the gift of good land. Wendell Berry wrote a book called The Gift of Good Land, and I'll leave you with a quotation from that book. He said, "The land is a gift because the people who possess it did not create it." We are on land that was made for us by God, and all around us is the vegetation that has grown from the original seedbed that our Father installed in the good earth as it raised up. Every animal that has ever lived, every human that has ever walked on this earth, has lived out of the resources of the good earth. This is good land. This land is God's dream. He intends that this place is His eternal home. that the heavenly hosts will live here and the human sons and daughters of God will live here and that we will live forever in a perfect world of free-willed beings. And he is a mighty God able to bring this vision to pass. And he invites you and he invites me to enter into this kingdom vision of a good earth, and that we will spend our eternity not floating on clouds in a spirit state, but in bodies alive and well and working the good land of planet Earth. We're on a blessed planet, the one outpost of life in the known universe. And we're privileged to be here, and we're being sustained by God every single minute. So don't get discouraged, and don't let other people put stuff in your head to kill your dream of life on earth. The same God that put seed in the ground, the New Testament says that same God will give you seed to sow and seed to eat, and that you can have an abundance. This can be a good life for you. You're going to have to make it, but you've got the resources of God behind you to push you forward and to reward your efforts. Don't be afraid to plan for a future and dream for a future. And young people, make babies, get married, make covenant, have children, know the joy of raising future generations, and believe that the future of the world is going to be amazing. And we want to give our children a chance to live in that world. And that all happens around us every single day. So, you know, I believe in the Word of God. I believe in the vision and the narrative that the Bible teaches us. I believe it's a hope-filled narrative. It's not a ridiculous thought. It is the ground. I mean, you can't look at this planet and not see the outlines of an architect's work. This is a designed space, and we are designed creatures. And you look at even our chromosomes and the beautiful double helix of DNA, and that there's code in there. It's, don't tell me this is just an accident. It's random chance. It's just, we just won the cosmic lottery. So the odds of you living a really great life, I think they're pretty awesome. God bless you. Talk to you next time.